Well, welcome to the Unlined Message. It's a joy to be able to come to you every week and share a message that I also do at the 11 o'clock service in church. Similar but different, but it's always based on the same scripture. And the scripture this week is in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And my message I entitled, Save the Best for the Last. Now, after we read this scripture and talk about it a little bit, you might remember that what happened at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. This is also when Jesus performed his first miracle, to give you a little clue. New Living Translation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The next day, Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in a village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. "I have no more wine," she told him. Red Letter Edition, verse 4, is attributed to Jesus, and he said, "How does that concern you and me?" Jesus asked. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." 6 stone water pots were standing there. They were used for the Jewish ceremonial purposes, and they held 20 to 30 gallons each. Jesus told the servant, Red Letter again, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had been filled to the brim, he said, "Dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So they followed his instruction. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water, that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. And he said, "Usually a host serves the best wine first." Then he said, "When everyone is full and doesn't care, he brings out the less expensive wines, but you have kept the best until now." Well, this miraculous sign at Cana Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And then over in verse 12, it says, "After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples." May God add his reading, and may God add the blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Save the best for last. I think all of us had heard that phrase at one time or another, but human nature, the way we do, sometimes we do the same thing. We save the best for last, don't we? We do it all. We do it when we serve some of the most treasured things in our life. We want to do it last. At a family meal, what do? We eat the peas, the Brussels sprouts first, all so that we can savor that pound cake or maybe even a caramel mousse at the end of the meal. That was the flavor that we want to remain in our minds, or especially on our tongues, long after the main meal had ended. And when we spend time with our loved ones, you know, the last moments before we part are by far the best and most emotional for us. But sometimes we even linger before saying goodbye, treasuring those moments in our memories. But if you have family members like we have family members, you know, when they linger and linger and linger, they say goodbye about 20 times and then they linger some more. Well, you know, that last touch, the favorite piece of chocolate maybe, the last piece of a delectable pie, the outfit that we got reserved for the last night of vacation. These are all the ways that we highlight our experiences. We save the best for last. We do this in nearly everything in life. Even fireworks. Spectacular fireworks are always the ones that come last. The most difficult routine in a gymnast performance is when they do that final thing and it comes last, and they come off of the bar and twirl and boom, stand on their feet. The last movement of a symphony is the most dynamic and memorable part of the performance. Every movie or story ends with a powerful climax, a moment that will impact us for the rest of the day or maybe even for the rest of our lives. I think the last moments of a football game or basketball game are the ones in which we sit at the end of our seats. Think about it. We even do it with funerals, or I call it death, burial, and resurrection service. But those ceremonies after the one had passed, in which we say everything we saved in our hearts and never expressed while the person was alive. We want to remember these thoughts last. But why do we do this? Well, there's a name for this phenomenon. It's called pique and bias. Nobel Prize-winning psychologist Daniel Kahneman notes that in the realm of our human judgment and decision-making, we value what we experience last the most. Peak moments, moments of great intensity, stay with us long after other memories have faded. Did you ever wonder why you remember tragedies and traumas so much more than the joys in your life? Ever wonder why they linger in your mind, sometimes tripping you up again and again? Well, these are peak moments that had been embedded in your memory, and they serve as end markers, storage containers for the way we label experiences. The most powerful memories are the ones that we experience last. I always said the way God created us and created the human mind, it's sort of like having a built-in camcorder. But we want to disseminate a pesky, lingering trauma. We replace it with a different, more powerful ending. And that's exactly what our mind attempts to do every time we replay a situation. Make similar choices, choose similar mates. It's not easy to do. Those moments of raw intensity tend to stay with us for a good, long time. Our traumas linger to haunt us. But so does our mountaintop moments or experiences continue to heal us. Mountaintop moments, those times of intense joy and excitement. Your wedding, a competitive win that you participated in, the long-awaited return of someone that you love. A surprise party, the end note of a moving opera, the moment you fell in love. The event in which you gave your heart to God. These two are dynamic moments, moments of transformation and joy, maybe of a revival or an excitement or a change, miraculous healing or intense emotion, a charged memory. These memories recharge our faith and restart our lives when things really get going tough. In the early days of the Methodist movement, people were dumbstruck at the many conversions that took place during some of Wesley's revivals and even some of the ones in the early years of our country. Sudden changes of heart and life that were coming upon new followers of Christ called Methodists. Many experienced sudden and emotional upheavals, extreme transformations. They let go of serious addictions, they turned their lives around and were relieved of the fears and anger in their life and were healed of their past. Now, while some of the Methodists were accused of sensualism, emotional responses that wouldn't last, they thought, they were proved wrong by the lasting fruit of these experiences, which stayed with people for years and years after change. I know it happened in my own experience, and I know people's lives were changed, and I know how my life was changed, and what I was like then, and what I'm like now, and everything in between. It's a testimony. So why do we evaluate our lives by the last and most memorable, powerful experience? When your most powerful experience is a revival, you aren't likely easy to forget it. That doesn't mean that our entire life needs to be made up of sensualism experiences. Many people live well with a quiet and steady faith. You know, we all have a little different way that we handle our faith, and that's okay. But for those whose lives have felt like a challenge for survival, the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ has come as a truly powerful and life-changing gift. Now, you know that I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I spent many years going to AA meetings. Do you know why AA meetings feel more like a faith-filled experience than many worship services? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they come and say, yeah, we've got a higher power. Well, I can tell you that higher power is Christ. And when the Holy Spirit touches you, you know that higher power came from God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. But think about this. Why do recovering addicts seem more adamant about following Christ than those who grew up in the church? What makes a redeemed criminal so intent on mentoring others in the faith? Their most memorable and lasting experience of Jesus' redemption has by far overpowered anything else in their life. Their lives, in a sense, have been reconditioned by that powerful spiritual experience. Wow. I think most of the time when we treasure last moments as humans, we do so out of fear of scarcity. We treasure that last bite of our favorite meal because we don't know when it might taste good again. We value that last moment as because we don't know when we might see that person again, a good friend. So we value the last time we were with them. And we also value those mountaintop moments, miraculously God-struck moments. I like some of the Hallmark things that they have, a God wink. Because we know that we have come face to face with something divine and more powerful than anything that we've ever experienced in our lives. Those experiences don't happen every day. That experience, it'll stay with us forever. Now here's the great thing about the way we work as humans. You know, we're complicated, us humans. You know, God gave us the ability to reason. That's why we are different than the animals in the other animal part of the kingdom. God gave us the ability to reason. Now, we don't need peak end experiences every day of our life. We only need a few to define who we are and what is valuable and meaningful to us. For Christians, we experience peak moments. In fact, we cultivate these peak moments in our time and our sacraments, in Holy Communion, in a baptism or a wedding, or often in worship or prayer when God speaks to us in a very special way. But God can also encounter us in the everyday things of life. Maybe it's when God comforts us after a loss, or maybe when we see a sign that God is there and a sign that we can't refute. These memories stoke our faith and remind us that God is not just there in the peak end moments, but He is there in every part of your life, 24/7, 60 minutes an hour, every moment, every second. What a joy. So in our scripture today, Jesus, with His water-to-wine miracle at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, created a peak end moment, a moment people will remember and will mark the start of His formal ministry at 30 years old. For Jesus is the best, and He has come at last. Those at the wedding will never forget that magnificent wine brought up at the very end of the feast. They would have been astounded, not only at the taste, but at the surprise. And the miracle will endure, a lasting reminder of who Jesus is. This is an experience they would never forget, and that's the story that marks Jesus and who He is for the duration of the Scriptures. For those who recognize Him, His family, His disciples, they knew something extraordinary was about to happen that will change the course of history. Jesus' life on this earth was a peak moment for everyone who encountered Him. Those who met Him would never forget Him. Oh, I wish I would have been there to meet Him in person. But thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you for the Scriptures that we come to know this precious Savior in a personal and loving way. So every time we celebrate and worship Jesus, still today, We remember those moments in our heart when He touched us in that special way. It lets us know He is there in your life. Every moment may not contain a miracle, but if you're a person of faith, and I think most of the people that hear my words today are people of faith, that one last miracle for a lifetime to remind you that Jesus is not only there in times of crisis, but He is there steadily through every moment of your life. You see, our memories, our faith, sustains us through many hard and difficult situations because the significant moments and encounters with God have been made, seared into our hearts and our minds, and as memories and knowledge of a truth that goes far beyond our comprehension. So you want to strengthen your faith? Wipe away your doubts? Cultivate a mountaintop experience with God? Put aside a time in your day to spend with Jesus? Open your heart to Him in at first and especially the last part of your day. And you will find your heart strengthened in a new and powerful way. So let Jesus be your first and your last, the one you wake up with, the one you go to sleep with. You will learn to savor those special moments with Him and look forward to them at a special part of your day. The more moments you savor, the more Jesus will become embedded in your heart as healer of your life. Well, I hope and pray that you enjoy these little messages that we bring to you on the online service. It's a joy to be able to put them together. And I know from my own personal experience what took place in my life. So we're grateful that you tuned in today. And hope and pray you have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. But if you've never took that step to open your heart, I encourage you to do that. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say you are, come into my life and be Lord over it. And I can assure you, you'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Those of you who already experienced know what I'm talking about. So take that time to say, Lord, come into my life. Amen. Hope and pray you're doing well and stay in touch.